16 to 18. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. If you have Bibles, please, please take your Bibles and turn to that. If not, I can read it to you. You can also, scriptures will also come on there. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. Here we go. This is Jesus talking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Father, I pray this morning, Jesus, we don't want to hear my words. We don't want to hear what the human words, Lord. We want to hear your words. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come this morning and would you touch our hearts? And I pray that you would comfort us with this word, convict us with this word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, help us to come closer to you and draw nearer to you. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My good people, as you heard last week, this is John 14, of course, and Jesus is still in the upper room with his disciples, just to kind of give you paint a picture. And this is these last few hours are the hours that he's with his disciples before he's going to the garden to pray and before he gets arrested. And so in a sense, he's spending these last few hours of his earthly ministry with the people that he loves. And we know from John 13, he washed his disciples' feet. He had taken a communion with them. And he even forewarned them that one of you is going to betray me. He's talking about Judas. And he gives them a new commandment that to love one another. To love one another. And Jesus tells as well about Peter's denial. And so we have this series of things that Jesus had already spoken to them and that he will. And last week he heard about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And now he's introducing this another helper. Another helper. Well, who is this another helper? But before he says that, he says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. You know, love is the central theme in the Gospel of John. And you know, the word love comes 56 times in the book. And if someone says a word so many times, it is important to them. And John talks about love, Christ's love, Jesus' love. And Christ here giving you a condition. And he says, if you love me, you will obey, you will keep my commandments. See, what is the motive of your obedience to Christ? If I ask you that question, what would you say? You know, our motive should be our love for Christ. It's because you love him, because you behold him, because he is God, because Christ has come and died on the cross, and now we respond to him with the same love. And I'll tell you in a minute, what love is he talking about? The word love is not the way that you and I would understand this love. And the proof of, see, our proof for Christ is not an oral profession, but living obedience. I'll say that again. The proof of love for Christ is not an oral profession, but living obedience. In another words, it's not just lip service. It's a real heartfelt obedience to Christ. And if you remember, Jesus, has come to fulfill all the laws and all the prophets, and here he's taking back to the what the greatest commandment that Moses gave to all the Israelites is the great Shema, which is "Hear, O Israel." That's the word in Hebrew. Shema means hear, listen, act, and do. And he says, what does it say? Deuteronomy 6:4-6. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He's one. "You shall love the Lord with all your heart," with all your heart, with every bit, not 90%, not 95%, not 99%, 100%, with all your soul, with all your might. "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart." He's taking back to the original commandment. "If you obey me, you will keep my command." And I said in John 13, just earlier, he says, "A new commandment I give you." A new commandment. Well, this is the original commandment. He's giving another commandment. Not only should we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, but we are to love each other the same love that he has shown us. The unconditional love. The agape love. That's the word I was going to say. You know, in Greek, there are many words to describe love. But here, he talks about a different love. There is a love. It's called ludos. Don't worry about these thing, these Greek words, but I'm going to say it to paint a picture. It's called ludos love. You know that ludos love is a playful, flirtatious love. I know you guys are childhood sweethearts. And when you guys were falling in love with each other, you were like, "Hey, I like this guy. I like this girl." Not just you two, you know. Those are husband and wife. Look at each other if you have sat with your wife. You know, I remember texting my wife when we were just getting to know each other. You butterflies are flying. Your tummy is a bit, "I'm not sure. This is the, you know, I like the girl, but I don't know what to say." But then our text messages became just words to all smiley emojis. And then the love grew and the smiley emojis became, "I wasn't sure whether to put a kiss. I don't know what she's going to think." That is ludos love. That's a playful, flirtatious love. And you're growing in the early stages of romance. And then that love becomes eros love. When you get married, there's this passionate love. Romantic love often includes sexual love. That's between husband and wife. And then that love becomes storge, a natural family love. That which parents have for kids and the kids have for the parents. And then that love, then you have another kind of love. It's called philia. It means a deep affection for a brother. I have a friend in my life and I call him brother and I call him my brother. And my sons say, "Daddy, he is not your brother." I know what exactly he's talking about. He's looking at our collars and saying, "He's definitely not your collar. He's definitely not your brother." But how can he say he's your brother? That's because he's my friend. I've grown to like him. That which David had with Jonathan. That which Jonathan had with David. No matter what, you will have their back. And he will have yours. And you both grow together. He's my brother. I will not give up on him. That's one sort of love. And then there is another love called pragma. It's enduring love, mature love. Anybody married over 30, 40, 50 years? Anybody? Yes. How many years? Wow. Well done. See, that's the love. It talks of pragma, enduring love. You matured. You love each other still, no matter what kind of things you go through in life. You guys are like an oak tree. Anybody who is married for long is built on commitment. It's built on compromise. It's built on understanding. It doesn't have to be that long, but you grow. You grow. And we come here to this agape love that Jesus is talking about. The highest form of love. The unconditional love, the selfless love. You see, when you spend time with somebody, you become like him. And you learn each other's traits. And you learn to say each other's words because you grow and you become more and more like him. And what Jesus says here, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." And he says, when you spend time with me, when you when you listen to my words, you become like me. You become Christ-like. That then you not only love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, but then you portray that love to other people. You're not no longer just loving the Lord and you're forgetting about your surrounding neighbors, your family. But if you truly love the Lord, you will love other people as well. You can't just love the Lord and hate your brother. That's what the Bible says. Because your love should demonstrate. I tell my kids, don't do that. And if they keep on doing that, what sort of relationship I have with my child? He has to obey because he wants to please me, obey me. But the underlying motive for that is love. It's not just a warm feeling or just a lovely words, but it is an attitude. It is an attitude. If we say we love somebody, then we demonstrate that in action. We don't just say, I love you and just wishy-washy about everything. And if I just say to my wife, well, I'm going to go to Mr. Walters for dinner on Monday, then come to you guys on Tuesday, and then go to Spalandis on Wednesday, and then go to the Hills on Thursday, what sort of love I will have with my wife? Because I'm not spending time with her. You see, the sacrificial love that Christ is talking about is, it's helping when it's inconvenient, when it's painful to you. Am I going to do this? But because I love him, because I love her, I'm going to do this. I love this. Love covers multitudes of sins. And that's what Christ did for us. I want you to just pause for a second and think about that. You know how much you have sinned and how much he has forgiven you in your life. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It talks about, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. My goodness, this epidemic, not only in the world, we have this in church. Oh, I'm not talking to so-and-so because he has offended me. Oh, because she has offended me. And that which we have the same issue when they were with the disciples. Well, Peter keeps saying the same things. I don't like that person. I don't want to spend time with the person. He's in the same room. But you can't. How can you? Because you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And how can you hold a grudge against your brother? You cannot. It's incongruous. It just cannot go hand in hand. That is not love of God flowing from you. A Christ-like character will show the world that we are his disciples. That's what John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says. What did he say? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And listen to this. By this, if you say you're going to love me and love other people, how are people going to know? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you want people to know that you belong to Christ, you're Christians in your workplace, you're Christians in the supermarkets that you go to, or Christians to the person you talk in the bus stop, that you have to demonstrate his character, his love. I want to read one more scripture, John chapter 14, later on, 21 to 23. Did I give you that, Beatrix? Chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. I'll read it here. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And then Judas, in the group, Judas, remember, Jesus has already told, one of you is going to betray me. And Judas is thinking, oh, is Christ talking about me? And Christ, knowing that, look how much love that he has for Judas. He says to Judas is asking, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And that's what he says elsewhere in 1 John 5:3. My words are not burdensome. They're not heavy yoke on you. It's simple love. And some of us have been saved for a long time. And you might just say, well, I struggle with this habitual sin. I struggle with this sin. I just cannot shake it off. But I still love the Lord. Listen to this. He says, you know, if you love me, you will keep my command. The word keep means to guard, to obey his word, to keep watch, to heed, to shield, to store up, to maintain, to mark attentively. That's his word. I've told you this illustration many, many times before. But in the olden days, when they didn't have street lights, they would have a lamp that would be tied to their feet with a chain. And when they walk, they would walk with the lamp right up there to your chest level. And as the chain is tied to your feet, and as you take your step by step, one step at a time, that light will illuminate your path as you go. Because they didn't have street lights like us we have here. But that is what the word of the Lord is. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to our path. Going back to your habitual sin, how do I do this? You say you love the Lord, and how is that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. No one who abides in me keeps on sinning. No one who abides in me keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Then verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. But the devil has been sinning from the very beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. When you are born again, yes, we all fall. Yes, we all stumble. We make mistakes. Even the Bible says that when the righteous fall seven times meaning illimitable times, you will wake up, you will get up from your mistake. But I'm talking, John is talking about something that's perpetual. You just cannot keep on sinning because the love that you have for the Lord prevails over everything. You have to shake it off. You have to give it up to the Lord. And you may have heard testimonies in your life, well, how someone has saved from this drug addiction or a perpetual drinking habit. And even in my life, I had to break a lot of things, but it grew. Some habits you just cannot break straight away. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. But as your love grows for the Lord more, your appetite for sin is no longer. And you go to somebody who has lost the weight, and we're all in January, everybody will be dieting now. And people will say, you know what, I used to be X amount of kilograms, but now look at me. But they will tell you the things that which attracted them, tempted them before, is no longer an issue. I loved trifle when I was younger. But now when I look at trifle, nothing against trifle, I just can't eat it anymore. I just don't have the appetite. And that's how we look at our some sins. When we look at our some sin, I'm thinking, no, Lord, I just cannot do it because I love you. Because I can grieve you and I can upset you. And now we move on from our love for God being the chief principle here, that which gives the motive to keep his commandments, to observe his commandment. And Jesus here is introducing, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And here the word helper means counselor. It means the one called on for help, called alongside to assist. He is the advocate. He is your advocate. He is the intercessor, the one who encourages and comforts you. You know, as I was writing this, we of course pray for the word, but I believe the Holy Spirit convicted me and challenged me to whom you're preparing this. You know what, you guys? I've been thinking about you guys all week. You know, when I was writing about this word, when the Holy Spirit says, the one who resides beside you, you know what that means? Can I sit next to your wife?
Sure.
Thank you. I don't want you to just slap me or something. No. Stay here. Since you've not given me any space, I'm going to sit on your lap. You know, Holy Spirit will reside beside you. And I, you know, the Lord knows what you guys are going through. And He is beside you. That's what it means. You know, He's the one who comes alongside you to assist you, to give you the strength. And I was thinking about you guys too. You know, He's coming to you guys and He says, well, okay, well, look, I can't not sit on your lap now. Come on. This is a filial love I'm talking about. He's my brother, you know. And the Lord would say to you guys the same, you know, the one who comes alongside you. He's the one who encourages you. Whatever things you guys are going through, the Lord is with in the form of the Holy Spirit. Where's Lindsay? I was thinking about you. You know, we've been exchanging conversations about our health issues. You know what? No matter where hospital appointments you go to, the Lord is with you. You know, He will be there right beside you. He'll be holding your hand. And that's what the meaning of that word helper is. He is the one who comforts you. I'm not forgotten you. That's the Holy Spirit slapping you. No, I'm only joking. But you know, anybody here, you know, I've been... When you're preparing for something like this, you know, the Holy Spirit puts certain people in your mind. And I am praying for all of you. But, you know, some people are going through, you know, the Holy Spirit says here, where's the scripture? I know I'm going to jump here. The Holy Spirit prays and makes intercessions and meditates for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And you wonder, Lord, I don't have any words to say. I don't know what to say here. I am completely spent. I don't have any words to say. And look what the Helper does for you. Just like Jesus in heaven now intercedes for you to the Father, here, Holy Spirit is interceding for you, on behalf of you. He advocates for you. He comforts you. He strengthens you. He affirms you. He empowers you, encourages you. He gives you peace. He forbears with us. I know. He's omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's everywhere present, He's the source of life, He's the Spirit of truth, He knows what you're going through. And that's why the Lord will come with that word. That is the scripture I want to hone in on today. He will give you another helper. If you remember, Jesus, of course, is going to be taken in the next 20 to 24 hours. And He's saying, look, I am not going to leave you without somebody to be there beside you. I'm going to give you a helper. You're not going to be orphans. You know, we live in a time where some people call Holy Spirit as it. And I remember talking to somebody. He was talking about this Alexa machine. And he's talking about Alexa machine as a she. Oh, I told her to play a song and she played me this song. I'm thinking, it's a machine, for goodness sake. And the Holy Spirit, we call Him as it. He is a He. He's not a force. He's not an influence. He is a person. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you some scripture. Go home and look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He can be grieved. He can be insulted. He can be lied to. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, they both have sold the house. And Peter says, well, is this the money that you have bought? Oh, yeah, that's the money. He says, and then the wife says the same lie. And Peter says, how could you lie? Not to me, but to the Holy Spirit. He can be resisted. He can be vexed. He can be quenched. And then he goes on to say, you know, you love me. If you love me, you obey me. And then he talks about the helper being there right beside you. And then he goes on to say, do you know what? There's a difference here. The world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you forever. Can we put that scripture, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It talks about the natural man, the carnal man. The meaning for natural there is psychosis. It's a soulish, it's a worldly man. Does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For what? They are folly to him. It's just, he just cannot comprehend. He can't discern. He just cannot sift it. It's like a sieve. It's like, oh, I don't know whether it's godly or ungodly. He's just blind. And once we were like that too, we were depraved. But you know who saved us? In the form of Holy Spirit comes and convicts you. And when Holy Spirit convicts you, he takes you to Jesus. And then what does Jesus say? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And without coming through Jesus, you cannot go and access to the Father. You see, all these, this is Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. And you go back in the third century, a guy called Tertullian, who termed that name as Trinity. This is three substance in one God. So going back to this natural man, does not accept the things of God, Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, for he is not able to understand them, because they are not spiritually discerned. He does not, a natural man does not welcome. He does not receive the things of the Lord. He does not understand the breath of God. He does not understand the mind of God. He thinks the cross is foolishness. Whatever Jesus did was a folly. Wisdom of God is a folly. It's all scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 2:24, 3:19. He's not able to perceive it. Whereas the spiritual man, he's able to understand the mind of God. Do you know why? Because he's got the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit, we're not regenerated. Because we just do not understand the things of God. We're not able to judge the matters as we are ought to. And a natural man here, he's hostile to the things of God. He's against it. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to do anything to do with Spirit convicting. You know, that's what I said earlier. You can resist the Spirit. You can say, and even in Hebrew, it says, you know, if the Spirit is talking to you, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. He wants to be your helper. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, he says, Jesus say, I'm going to come. He's knocking on the door. He's not going to come into you and force his way in. He is a gentleman. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him like never before. We live in a world where wrong is right, right is wrong. And I was watching this news last week and I sent this over to my wife to see. This senator was asking this doctor, can a man give birth to a baby? Can a man get pregnant? She could not give a straight answer. It took 5 minutes to give her and talk about, you know, not answering. She could not. That is the world we live in now. Everything is upside down. I'm going to let A.W. Tozer, a previous preacher, talk about Holy Spirit. You see, any church without the Holy Spirit is like a ship without a rudder. We can go, we can be tossed to and fro. If the Holy Spirit is not anchoring you in the word of the Lord, we too are going to be tossed to and fro. Because we cannot, where is our anchor? It's in the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about the only power God recognizes in his spirit is the power of his spirit. God does his work by the operation of the spirit, while, listen to this, my eyebrows raise, while Christian leaders attempt to do this by the power of trained and devoted intellect. I'm talking to my fellow seminary brothers here. It's not about you being eloquent, or it's not us being going to the seminary. We go to the seminars to get ourselves very good in preaching the gospel. If you remember, Peter and John, they were like, get these guys out of here. They were unschooled. They don't even know what they're talking about. Let them go out. Bright personality has taken the place of the divine afflatus, meaning inspiration. Only what is done through the eternal spirit will abide eternally. If, you know, you can build church without the Holy Spirit. You know, you could look, because that's what the world does. We want to be relevant to the world. And that's all building on wood, hay, and stubble. We're not building on the rock. We're not building on Jesus Christ, on the Holy Spirit. And the church copies the world. Christianity is so entangled, this again, entangled with the world that millions never guess how radically they miss the New Testament pattern. Oh, wow, I like that thing. Let's just copy them. It's a fad. Everybody just goes on same direction, forgetting this is our blueprint for our life and for our church. Compromise is everywhere. And you go ask brothers, wow, how do you do it? You're just like one person, two person. How do you do it? It's because I stand on the word of the Lord. Come and join me. That's the sort of situation that we're heading into. Our homes have turned into theater. This is all A.W. Tozer is saying. Our literature is shallow, and our hymnody borders on sacrilege, and scarcely anyone appears to care. He goes on to argue, imagine Moses agreeing to take part in a panel discussion with Israel over golden calf. This is the age of toleration. We tolerate everything. And imagine Elijah engaging in a gentlemanly dialogue with the prophets of Baal. He said, well, he called on fire on the altar. Or try to picture our Lord Jesus himself seeking a meeting of minds with the Pharisees to iron out the differences. If you're at odds with the world because of what the world stands for, you're with the Lord. You're with Christ. If you stand on the word, your Holy Spirit will be with you. No matter what you go through, we stand on the word of God. Our anchor, our rudder is in Christ. It's on the Holy Spirit. And I know I went through and I said to a few people, I'm telling you guys, the Holy Spirit wants to visit us. He wants to remind us that He is our Lord. He is the one that leads us. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who protects us from this world. If you love Him, obey His commandments. Because we have the Holy Spirit to advocate for us, who once comes alongside us to do the things He has asked us to do. Listen to this John Wesley's rule. I like this. He says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as ever you can. It all sounds great, Mr. Wesley, but how do we do that? We can only do that by the help and by the assistance and by the leading of the Holy Ghost in our life. When we don't have Holy Ghost in our life, we may as well just pack up everything and go home, because we're not with the Lord. We're missing out on so many things. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And He even promises, I am not going to leave you as orphans, meaning I'm not going to leave you desolate. You're not going to walk on streets with no one to hold your hands, no one's to go to hospital with, no one's to go see your friend, or no one's to see and console anybody that going through any hard times. I remember my pastor telling a story when he went through something so tragic in his life. His friend traveled miles somewhere from north, even further, like 400, 500 miles, something like that. He traveled all the way just to be with him. And he just sat right beside him with my pastor, and he just didn't say anything. He cried, and he cried, and he cried. And so that's what Jesus did for you. He left the heavenly glories, and he died on the cross for us, for you and for me. And he took upon all our sins, and he said, I want to die for Molin. I want to die for Callum. Young man, the Lord has good plans for you. I was chatting with you earlier. You know, when you love the Lord, when you give all your heart, I want to say to young people as well, when you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you know, that's the greatest thing the Lord wants for your life. And he wants to make home with you. And he wants to nurture you. He wants to walk with you. And that's what Christ did for us on the cross. And the promise of the Holy Spirit is not apart from Christ. If you will notice, the promise of the Holy Spirit was sent by both the Son and the Father. He says, I will pray. I will make a request. I will urge the Father to send the Helper, and we could come and be home with you. And I pray this morning. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for your presence today, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we are here, gathered here, not because what we want to do, not because this is our Sunday morning routine, not because this is what we always done, this is what we're always going to do, but because we love you, Lord Jesus. That's because we want to honor you. You are the Lord and the Savior. You came from the heavenlies to save us. And I pray this morning for those hearts who doesn't know you, for those who are unregenerated, I pray that they will have a transformation today from a natural man to a spiritual man. I pray this morning, Jesus, that you would touch. Holy Spirit, would you convict them? Would you bring them to Christ? And I pray that you will dwell with them, that you would make home with them. And I pray for those who are going through some situations that I don't even know. Holy Spirit, would you reside beside them? Would you comfort them? And I pray that they would go back home and they would read this John chapter 14 and they would know that your Helper is right next to them, holding their hands and counseling them. Father, we thank you this morning. And I pray, Lord Jesus, would you be with us as we go and do whatever that we've got to do this week, Lord Jesus. Be with us. Help us to be constantly looking to you, not elsewhere, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. My good people, if there's anything that the Lord wants for you, is that he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be in you and abide with you forever. That's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is not intermittent. It's not just sporadic. He's given to you and he's forever. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, and let's sing a song before we go. Where